Well, grace and peace, beloveds, in the name of our God who mates us in the very parts of creation and who invites us into a community of transformation and hope. Amen. So during the first week of January, I got to travel to Phoenix. It was not beautiful and sunny and warm like we hoped. It was, in fact, a little colder than it was here. It's fine. I went for a few days of rest and renewal at the Franciscan Retreat Center in kind of the northeast-ish side of Phoenix. And I went not just for that, but there was like a little conference, a retreat. And I went mostly because I knew a few of my friends from seminary were going to be there. In fact, we planned to go and enjoy this rare opportunity to be gathered together again. Now, I have seen at least of the four of this group, there are six of us, but of the four that we were gathered, I've seen each of them individually over the last few years, but having at least a critical mass, it's been almost a decade since we've been able to spend time together, which is a little wild to me. So I was mostly excited to have this breadth and depth of time with these friends, these people who I have been close with for, oh man, 19 years? Oof, don't want to think about that. But I knew, mostly, that the content of the retreat, mostly stuff that would apply to me, but as a campus pastor, my life is a little different than pastors in congregational settings. And so while I love our partnership that we have here, my call to PLM is just different enough that I mostly went to this thing to spend time with my friends. And then we got there the day before. We had a wonderful time catching up with each other, sharing deep things, all of the things we just enjoyed spending that time. And I was like, cool, I want this the whole week. And then we get to the retreat center, and all of a sudden, I realize I know way more people at this event than I knew I would. Because it turns out that a majority of the participants were from Wisconsin, including two of the synods in which I have previously served in a variety of ministries. And the fact that they were there was because I forgot that in Wisconsin, there is a very generous foundation that supports Lutheran clergy of all Lutheran varieties in Wisconsin for continuing education. And so most of them were there because good old Grandpa Siebert made it possible. Kind of like we have Lily to thank for a lot of things, they have them. So I had no idea that I was gonna see some of these people. I was so surprised in a good way, which also surprised me. Because I had no idea that I would be face to face with people that not only had I not seen them in many, many years, but the last time I had seen most of them was when I was having a very difficult time in my life and my ministry. I was not healthy, things were not easy. I usually felt kind of triggered if I met anybody from the Greater Milwaukee Synod or South Central Wisconsin Synod. I'm gonna name them because I love them dearly. And so I was surprised to realize that as I saw these faces that instantly took me back to that very hard time, I wasn't anxious, not even in the slightest. Nothing of any of them that were even tangentially associated with that part of my past, none of it triggered me at all. And it turns out that my soul has, in fact, finally found healing. Whew, who knew? And I think I realized, too, during that week, as I met and talked with them and kind of realized where this healing has come, that part of it's because I am so grateful for this community, for our community of PLM, for the ministry that I get to do here, with our students, with this congregation, that finally I feel like, oh, this is what healing looks like, feeling like you have a place. Now, when we go through such transformations, unlike caterpillars who we see become a chrysalis, and then they emerge as butterflies, we don't always have such a clear indication that we are undergoing any sort of transformation or healing moment. Many of us do not have defining moments that clearly mark a then and not then, or a before and an after. And unfortunately, if we do have that kind of change, it's usually accompanied by something pretty difficult or traumatic or very challenging. Those things that mark a clear distinction of then and now. So usually it isn't until we stop, we take notice, we reflect, and realize that the journey that we have been on, and only then, with reflection and self-discovery and curiosity, do we learn that we in fact are changed, that we have been transformed by the journey itself, whatever twists and turns and roads and hills and valleys that journey brought. And I think that's the experience even of our ancestors in faith, this kind of slow burn of transformation that we don't even realize until we are in the midst of it. Let's take John, this wonderful guy that we meet right off the bat in our gospel. He, until this moment, has been a prophet, simply standing out in the wilderness, proclaiming of somebody who is to come, speaking the words of Isaiah, another prophet, saying that something better is on the horizon. And the moment he first sees Jesus, he moves from prophet to baptizer, because that is when Jesus appears. That is when the thing that he has been talking about comes to fruition. And even shortly after that, as he starts to tell the story, John becomes a testifier. So he has gone through three different kind of career changes in about 24 hours' time. Because we know that John is the one who cries out in the wilderness, calling for those around him to keep watch, to turn their hearts to God, for God's promised one was on the way. He meets God's promised one in the waters, where the dove descends. And then instantly he becomes one who testifies, who tells this story. Because John shares that moment that he met Jesus in the waters, that revealed Jesus is the one who was promised, who is the beloved of God. And as John shares this moment, he does it again because the very next day, as he is one who is testifying of this experience, he sees Jesus again and calls out, "This is the Lamb of God," walking among his community and among his own disciples, which yet another small transforming moment happens, because these people who had been disciples of John turn immediately to start following Jesus. And in doing so, these disciples who had been followers now also become testifiers. They start to tell the story. And in fact, one of them kind of becomes an apostle, which I realize this is like a lot of like churchy language, but one of them becomes one who is sent to invite others along with them. Because I think it is Andrew, the disciple of John, who then turns to follow Jesus, is the one who then invites his brother Simon. Simon, who Jesus immediately recognizes, or at least maybe is kind of prophesying or foretelling, that this is one whose faith will be such that, though rocky, will also be solid. Now, there's a small pun in that because Peter means rock. Yeah. You're welcome. It is Simon who is now more recognizably known as Peter, who we hear about through the rest of the Gospels. Andrew has gone from one who followed to one who invites to one who tells the story. And so it indeed, God is present among us in the most ordinary of our moments that we may not even recognize as revolutionary or transformative to our own stories, never mind for the sake of the world. But we hear and receive that God's presence is witnessed in all of creation, so much so that even in the waters of the River Jordan, the doves and the pigeons recognize Jesus' divine humanity and come to rest upon him. I don't think it's just a metaphor that the Spirit showed up like a dove. I think the Spirit showed up as a dove, a physical manifestation, a creation moment. God's presence is felt among those then who perceive this as good news, that the Messiah has come here. The Messiah is, oh, so very near. And God's presence is what invites them to follow, to turn from their before, which is following John and looking for the one, to now thereafter, where they're going forward with the one who has come. So whether it is disciples of John who transfer their loyalty to Jesus, or Simon, now called Peter, who believes and trusts his brother's secondhand testimony, there is something about this one that beckons curiosity and a new kind of hope that they are looking for. And in doing so, we have a bit of hindsight privilege in that we can see and read and hear all these things happening instantly, that even the faith of those who first followed Jesus is a faith that is transformed almost instantaneously. And here's what I mean by that. Because we hear John call out, "This is the Lamb of God." Well, really, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the Word who was with God. And then the disciples, when they first meet Jesus, they simply call him Rabbi. They call him teacher. They're not quite there yet. But when Andrew invites his brother, Peter, Andrew jumps from teacher to Messiah. We have this journey of faith from teacher to Messiah, to Savior, to Anointed One, to Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world. As such, our expressions, our experiences of faith go through a multitude and roller coaster of transformation. We may move from belief to uncertainty, from trust and hope to lament and despair, and yet God's love and presence is unwavering. It stays with us like the dove on the shoulder of Jesus. For even when our faith and our uncertainty vacillates between joy and rage, God's love is unwavering. And it is in those moments when we may be curious, when we may be unsure of what is coming, that Jesus asks us, "What are we looking for?" He doesn't respond with, "Here it is." He invites to come and see. Which, spoiler, that's why we are singing "Come and See" before our gospel reading during this season of Epiphany. Or rather, come and perceive. Come and bear witness. Come with me and then tell about what you experience. Jesus' invitation for his new disciples to come and see is really about as wide an invitation as anyone can give. Because he doesn't tell them what to look for. He asks what they're looking for, and he shows them, I want to start singing Aladdin, A Whole New World. He shows them a whole new world, but it's even better than that, because whatever they were expecting, fairly certain that their expectations were obliterated the more time they spend in Jesus' divinely human presence. And in fact, I'll give you a little preview of what's to come in the Gospel of John, because we don't spend a lot of time in the Gospel of John. We are going to hear more from Matthew this year, but immediately after this, Jesus collects a few more disciples, and then they attend a wedding where it seems to those who aren't in the know that the hosts have brought out the very best wine at the end, even though it seemed like they were running out, Jesus' first miracle. And then immediately after this wonderful, peaceful moment where Jesus turns water into wine, they are in the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus is outraged. People are using the temple for commerce and trade. He flips tables, he yells at people, not the peaceful Jesus most of us think about, but is there. And then, even after that, and this is just in the first like two or three chapters of John, Jesus is making statements that will later be interpreted as him foretelling his death and his resurrection. Talk about a roller coaster of faith and experience and transformation. Although, to be fair, this may be why we don't read as much about John, because John's a wild guy. But this narrative follows a very different path, and we'll hear more from Matthew, which is a little bit more linear and, less chaotic, which as a chaos person, I kind of like chaos, but it's fine. Anyway, it is important to know that in this short narrative style of the Gospel according to John, what we know in the first few moments are that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the Word who was God and with God in the beginning. Jesus is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is our teacher. And in doing being all of these things, even as a prophet too, Jesus invites people into community. And as they follow and as they witness, they will understand that Jesus calls out systems of oppressive commerce. Jesus will set people free from their ailments. Jesus will challenge the pious. Jesus will show the disciples things they could never have imagined. So much so that here we are now, 2,000 years later, still talking about these experiences, still learning from and trying to understand what it really means that God indeed has come here to be with us in the person of Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah who is not far off, but right here among us, that it is the promised Spirit that ruffles our faith and moves us into transformation, often kicking and screaming. So perhaps in this short, growing, green season of Epiphany, the reference of the green that we have, yep, here we go. It is a short season of growth where we continue to witness the incarnation of God in Christ Jesus in creation and among us and within us. Perhaps in this green season, our faith may grow a little bit too. An awareness of the journeys that have made us who we are right now, and with an openness to discomfort and challenges and invitations to joy where our own transformations are also ongoing. For though we do not know where we are going, we move forward in faith, trusting that God is with us wherever we go. The Spirit is guiding us along the way. And so even though sometimes it feels heavy, the call to discipleship and the invitation is still to come and see, because there is a lot in the world that we need to see. There are places where our privileges can be used for the sake of others, and the journey forward is not easy. We will need rest and renewal. We will need joy and lament. We'll need rage and community. For it is only with the faith and trust in the one who comes to take away the sin of the world that we can do the hard things that feel impossible. But in doing so, we live into our baptismal calling as beloveds who come in faith, not on our own, but in community together. And so may God give us courage to speak, compassion to act, and faith to keep showing up for one another, inviting one another to come and perceive the Lamb of God. Amen.